My name is Dennis Kine. I'm 15 years in the United States Army. I served with the 24th Infantry Division during Operation Desert Storm. And Norman Schwarzkopf says that's the front line of Operation Desert Storm, where there was 340 tons of depleted uranium leveled into southern Iraq and into Kuwait, which the troops that I served with walked into.
That says 1991.
Yes, in 1991, Operation Desert Storm started on January 17th, and they bombed for 45 days until late February when the ground war started for 100 hours.
Wow.
And in that 100 hours, almost 500,000 soldiers walked into 340 tons of depleted uranium.
Mm. Well, hi, everybody, the people in Japan. Here I got the guest. Speaking from San Francisco, actually this is the San Jose area, and we got a guest here, Dennis Kine, one of the most powerful anti-war peace activists in the United States today. And as he said, he served as a, you were in the Marine?
U.S. Army.
U.S. Army, in the first Gulf War. And, okay, I have a question. Did you know anything about depleted uranium while you were in service?
Yes, and hello to Japan. Konnichiwa. And yes, I did not know anything about depleted uranium, literally until I met Lorraine Murray. I mean, I'd heard of depleted uranium and heard, you know, what it was used for and kind of how it was used, but I didn't know what the medical implications or the philosophical or spiritual implications of liberating this much uranium really was.
Yeah, as you know, we experienced Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so most of the Japanese, I would say 99% of Japanese, know about the sufferings of the radiation. Because we educated
yes,
how horrible thing it was. And my question is, how much of the knowledge of the radiation impact on the human people in America has?
Oh, I don't think that even, you know, aside from just the use of it as a weapon, the American citizen has very little concept of what radiation does, what low-level radiation is capable of doing, or even, you know, what the particulate matter of uranium is when it becomes a very small particle or a nanoparticle or a submicron particle, what the implications of that are. I don't think Americans have a clue, you know, let alone the type of information, because that's where our intelligence is derived from the information we get. They're not getting the appropriate information. So they're not getting the appropriate information academically, scientifically, from the government, from the Department of Defense, or the Department of Energy. Nobody's disseminating the appropriate information, so the intelligence level about uranium is like probably that of a kindergartner here in America.
Mm. So your experience is very valuable today for the American people.
And I try to work every day in America. You know, I do go internationally. I've been to Hamburg, Germany, Bamako, Mali, Oban, France, and you know, I try to get international to just to let international citizens know that, you know, not everybody in America is.
What's the general response here?
Here in America, America, it's utter disbelief. You know, you see jaws drop every day when we see pictures that have been provided by Takashi Morizumi, or we see, you know, the implications of what's happened in Bosnia-Herzegovina, or what's been done in Afghanistan, or the 1,000% increase in childhood leukemia in Iraq. I mean, the jaws drop here in America.
So they believe you?
Yes, they do believe me, because it's not that hard to not believe it once you connect the dots. That's the problem in America, is we don't connect the dots a lot. We get stuck on the television set, so the dots don't quite get connected. But once you connect the dots about uranium inside of a weapon, the question always is why. That's there's never any other question. It's not no, that didn't happen. Most people in America know that we've gone beyond the atomic age. They know we're living in the quantum age now. They don't know what that means, but they know that things are different than they were in 1943. And so that the use of these weapons is totally possible, has total potential, and they know it. They just haven't been told that it's actually happened yet.
Well, I assume because hundreds of thousands of soldiers went to Iraq and attended the first Gulf War, and now is the troops all there, 130,000?
They say it's 145,000. Joyce Riley says that it's probably 750,000. Based on the number of people that are actually been injured, I mean, the statistics don't...
How come those veterans or soldiers who return from Iraq are not saying anything?
Well, say for example, Herbert Reed or Gerard Matthews of the 442nd National Guard Brigade out of New York came home and they found uranium-236 in their urine.
Gerard Matthews, he is in Japan right now.
Ah.
Yeah, I met him 2 days ago.
Wonderful. So his daughter has, you know, she's been birthed with 3 fingers and no wrist and a thyroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he is saying what he can, but honestly, and you know as well as I do, that a lot of people don't make it long enough to speak.
Oh.
You know, a lot of them have already passed on. 43-year-old colonels who were marathon runners passed away a week after being diagnosed with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Monday it was pneumonia, and on Friday they died of lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that happening, or we've been seeing it happening. And basically we know that uranium's hot when it hits the ground, so you have gamma radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So in the early rounds of this Operation Iraqi Freedom, soldiers were falling over.
Mm-hmm.
They were dying. Their organs were being displaced. It was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're not seeing that as much. What we're seeing now is the possibility of what's going to happen to the soldiers who breathe in all the particles
mm-hmm.
that are left over after the bombs went off.
Do you know that President Bush knows this?
I think he's very well aware of it. I think his father's well aware of it. I think President Clinton was aware of it. I think that you know, you can't turn your head away from it.
Mm.
You know, you're obviously forced, if you're managing anything, to know what the Department of Energy and what the Department of Defense are doing.
Mm.
Like it's inescapable to not know what the heavy arsenal is and be the commander in chief.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you can't be the commander in chief and not know what the gold is.
I see.
The gold for them right now is uranium.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, what's your present sort of a purpose of the action?
The purpose of my action is to get Colonel Asaf Durakovich says he can get the soldiers treated if we'll actually admit to the use of this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, I'm a nuclear medicine doctor. I don't seem to understand why you won't let me at least attempt to treat soldiers
mm-hmm.
or treat soldiers, either or, but you're totally denying me access when I'm the one that pretty much levels the causal relationship between uranium and Gulf War syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So if the soldiers can't get treated, I mean, how are we ever going to get to treat any of the civilians that are affected by this?
Are you involved in any lawsuit?
No, I am not personally involved in any lawsuits
mm-hmm.
because I've always been told that, I'm in an interview, that I've been told that the United States soldier isn't allowed to sue the government. Like that's not something here in America you're entitled to do. Once you sign your line, you literally sign away your rights. So since that's the case, based on, you know, a number of legal precedents that date back decades, I've never initiated that, and I've always just advocated for a better consciousness and a better awareness among the people
mm-hmm.
rather than some, you know, individual compensation for my disability, even though I do get that from the VA.
Have you been harassed?
Harassed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been thrown in jail, but you know, I could have been thrown in jail for any number of things. I'm not specifically sure if it's depleted uranium or just protesting this administration
mm-hmm.
or being anti-military or anti-recruiters
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the whole list is on my sheet to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, the harassment comes from everywhere, from somebody who's sitting next to you in a chair to
mm-hmm.
somebody with handcuffs on.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Japan. Thank you for all your work.
I appreciate your great work.
Yes. Yeah.